Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. Thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, uninterrupted by any satanic force whatsoever. Listen to me, Father, and more of you. None of me, Holy Spirit, and all of you. All of you, Holy Spirit, I believe by faith that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. Thank you for hastening your word to perform it. Thank you for that you said your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where it has been sent. So I say like the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, that I may not doubt you, nor second guess you. No, Lord, I trust you. I trust you to demonstrate your word. I trust you to manifest your word. I trust you to cause your word to go forth and explode forth in power in our lives like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Now, one of the things that I want you all to understand, and you please, 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 you got to capture this. When I'm gathering with you, when I'm teaching you the word, when I'm preaching to you, I'm not here to be religious. I teach and preach to train people, to develop them in the authority that God has given them, to teach them and train them and develop them how to walk by faith and not by sight at a whole nother level so they can see more, become more, have more, handle more, step into more in Jesus' name. And so, you know, our studies around the word, our sessions where we're taught the word, isn't about being religious. It's about your life. So you have to understand how to pay attention, how to be focused, how to be locked in so that you can hear from God. Case in point, we came into this year at our three-night meeting, and I shared in a three-night meeting that God said, in this new year, he says, you're going to have to be firm in faith. Now, think about what has occurred to you this year already. Think about the challenges you've had. Think about situations and circumstances you've already gone through just in the first quarter. Here we are in the fourth month of the year. Now, the word was be firm in faith. If you didn't lock into that teaching, if you didn't attend to it, put your all and put your heart into it to capture the impartation the Holy Spirit wanted you to catch and that he was releasing, then, well, what happened is during that first quarter, if you went through challenging times, you struggled. Through certain situations, you struggled. And it's not because God didn't give you your answer. It's because you didn't pay the price. And what is the price you have to pay? I have to pay attention. I have to lock in. I have to attend to what I'm hearing so I can hear his voice and I can connect to him at a way and at a level I've never done before so I can see something I've never seen before. I can experience something I've never experienced before. I can receive something at a whole nother level. See, you have to lock in. So I don't have these Thursday night sessions to be religious or to be churchy. I have them because of our lives. And I listen to them as well because I want to live in victory and I want you to live in victory. Well, that brings me to what we're studying. Last week we looked at this. I entitled it a sonship mentality is a kingdom mentality. A sonship mentality is a kingdom mentality. Now, as we pointed out on last week, and it bears repeating that when the Bible, and we're going to look at this, when it talks about sons in some of the scriptures, he's not talking about gender, but he's talking about spiritual maturity, spiritual development. And so I know I got you at Luke 15, right? Let's read another passage before I read Luke 15. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's start there and see what the Holy Spirit is going to pull out for tonight. And then we'll go to Luke 15. Because I want you to see this, that I talked about how some verses refer to sons, and it's not talking about gender, but it's talking about spiritual maturity. Romans chapter 8. If you have it, come on, be ready. Let's get ready to start. Romans chapter 8, let's start at verse 14. And the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the," there it is, "sons of God." So he's talking about the spiritual mature ones. He's not talking about gender. So I don't want my sisters to allow that to confuse you or to act like God excluded you. No, no, you're included. But he wants you mature spiritually. He wants you developed spiritually. He wants you developed in spiritual things. He wants you developed or mature in spiritual matters. Amen. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the mature ones of God." Verse 15. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. "The Spirit," the King James Bible says, "the Spirit itself," but I always exchange it with the word himself, "the Spirit himself," because the Holy Spirit is not a it. The Holy Spirit is a personality, is a him. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Come on, everybody say this right where you are. Say, "I am a child of God." Now let's say this by faith. Say, "I am a spiritually mature son of God. I'm a mature one of God." So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now you got to remember this now. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, let me inject this. When he talks about you and I suffering with Jesus, he's not talking about you going through. He's not talking about you suffering with pain, you suffering with cancer, you suffering with a disease. He's not talking about you suffering being broke, you suffering with not having enough, you suffering not having a good job, you suffering with not living in a good house. He's not talking about that. The suffering he's talking about is everything that Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross as our substitute. So he took everything on him. He took our sin. He took our unrighteousness. He took our defeat. He took our sorrow. He took our grief. He took our unhappiness. He took everything that sin caused and produced, everything that Satan brought into the earth realm, Jesus took it on the cross as our substitute. So he took our unrighteousness, and now we're suffering with him. We take his righteousness. He took our sickness. We take his health. He took our poverty. We take his wealth. He took our death. We take his life. He took our defeated position. We take his victorious position. So suffering with him is to receive what he paid the price for at Calvary, and now on earth, when it seems like it's not happening for you, you have to lock in and believe Jesus that what he did is a reality in your life. So the suffering is, you're not going to live like everybody else live. I'm going to take my stand. And when you take your stand, man, that makes your flesh uncomfortable. Your flesh don't want to do that. Your flesh don't want to keep believing God for your healing. Your flesh want to take as many pills that they give you, all the medication, just get high on all that stuff. That's your flesh. Your flesh don't want to believe God for a way out of something. Your flesh want to cave in and give in to fear, apprehension, worry. See, there's a suffering in that because your flesh doesn't want to respond to spiritual matters, but you are a child of God. Remember, we read it, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What are we talking about? The mature, the spiritually mature ones of God. Are y'all with me? So he goes on to say, let's look back at verse 16 one more time. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, let me inject this. Not only does the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit of who we are, the children of God, but he also bears witness with our spirit what we are to have because we are children of God. He bears witness with our identity, who we are, and he bears witness with our inheritance, what we are to have. So that's so important because that helps us with the sonship mentality. Okay, let me keep reading. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, meaning creation, waited for the manifestation of the, there it is again, sons of God, the spiritually mature ones of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature, now when it talks about creature from the King James Bible, it's talking about the natural realm or creation, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, go back to verse 14 and 16, and I want to see this again. Romans 8, back up. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, what is he leading us into? He leads us into our identity. He leads us into our inheritance. Come on, put it down, write it down. He leads us into our identity. He leads us into our inheritance. Now, he also leads us into, of course, in our daily walk, as we walk victorious, but that comes from your identity. And who are you? He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the spiritual mature ones. Okay, look at verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So how is he going to lead us? From our spirits, not from our heads, not from our feelings, not from our emotions. We don't watch this. We don't pray for signs. Oh God, give me a sign. Oh Lord, I need a sign if you want me to do this. No, it says he's going to bear witness with your spirit. Not through a sign, because see, if you saw a sign, that means he's trying to bear witness through your natural eyes. No, he don't want to do that because the adversary manipulates the natural realm. You might say, okay, God, if you don't want me to go this route, close the door. Or if you want me to go this route, open the door. Now, there have been times because God is training his children, He may have done something like that in their life, but that's not supposed to be the rule. He helped them because they were a baby in this particular area of being led. And so some have prayed for signs, and some of you listening to me tonight may have said, well, I asked Pastor Mark, I asked God to show me something like that and close the door, and he did. He may have did it for you at that time because of where you were in your development, but that is not the standard for the spiritually mature ones of God. You're not supposed to go back there looking for signs. It's just like, you know, here I am as an adult. I'm not supposed to go back and act like I did in elementary school. You would look at me and think, oh, something's wrong with him. No, I had to grow up. And so do you spiritually. So look what he says in verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. He wants you to develop this spiritually. He bears witness with our spirit of our identity, that we are the children of God. He also bears witness with our spirit of what we have, our inheritance. Now, with that said, go with me to Luke 15. We looked at this at the parable of the prodigal son. And my main reason for going here is I wanted to show you the position that the eldest brother took. I wanted to show you his mindset. I wanted to show you how, what his perception was of his father. And then I wanted to also show you the eldest brother of what he was forfeiting. So let's look at this. We're not going to read it all like we did last week. So Luke 15. And let's start at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Now look at this. He was angry. He wasn't overjoyed to see that his brother returned home. Why was he angry? Because in his heart, he was condemning his brother. Now, when we talk about the sonship mentality being a kingdom mentality, you have to understand that in dealing with your other brothers and sisters in Christ, you're going to have to get out of this mindset where you easily condemn them. You judge them. You can't do that. That's not a kingdom mentality. See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So you're not supposed to be accusing your brothers or your sisters. You're supposed to be covering them. Even when you see them wrong, you got to pray and cover them so that they don't become a satanic trophy of defeat. But oftentimes when we get mad at someone, specifically if it's a family member or a friend, and we get mad at them, we're judging, we hold things against them. And so we hold things against them, and because we feel like they didn't do right. And we'll say, well, you knew better. But how often did you do something wrong and you knew better? But you wanted grace, not condemnation. You wanted mercy, not somebody pointing a finger at you and accusing you. You see how we do? And so in developing this sonship mentality, being spiritually mature, spiritually developed, you got to settle that my days of accusing others is over. My days of pointing a finger and blaming others and condemning them and judging them and getting upset because of them is over. You got to settle it. Look at this. Verse 28 again. And he was angry and would not go in. So on purpose, because of his anger, he refused to participate. You know how some of us do when we get upset. We don't want to be a part of it, whatever it is, a family gathering or an event or to do something with a friend or whatever, because we're upset. And so what we're doing, watch this, we don't realize that we're partaking in witchcraft because we're sending a message that we want to control the atmosphere of the event. We want to control the atmosphere of that person because we want them to know I'm upset. And now, you can't have fun. Y'all can act like y'all gonna go on, but I want you to understand. See, you don't want to do that. Wow, this is not in my lesson. This is not where I want to go. Glory to God. But evidently, God wants this out. So flow, Holy Ghost, flow. You don't want to go there. You don't want to operate like that. Okay, that's a form of witchcraft. Witchcraft means to control someone or control an atmosphere or control. It's where you're trying to control. And you don't want to do that. We're not in the business of controlling people. We're in the business of influencing people for the kingdom. Okay? Verse 28 again, and he was angry and would not go in. So his will was involved. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now look at there. Did you see that? You see that form of manipulation? So now you're causing your father to go out. That's manipulation. And here the Father comes with mercy and grace. And so what I'm hearing tonight, I guess, is that the Spirit of God wants us to adjust our attitudes and not try to use our Bible knowledge or the revelation we know to control people, to justify operating in rebellion, pride, or witchcraft. No, we don't roll like that. That's not us. Love covers a multitude of faults and sins. We pray for one another. Keep a marker there. Keep a marker in Luke 15. Go with me. Man, this is not in my notes, Lord. And you have me going here. Go with me to 1 John 4. Look at this. 1 John 4. Watch this. Where we want to go? 1 John 4. Come on, get there. Look at verse 11. 1 John 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love, you see that, one another. No man hath seen God at any time. So we can't see God, but they can see you. They can see me. They can see us. They can't see God, so they want to see, can they see God in us? Can they see God through us? Would God condemn a person? No, then you can't condemn them. Would God judge that person as wrong? No, then you can't judge them. Would God be merciful? Yes, then I have to be merciful. Look what it says. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is, look at that word. King James Bible says, perfected in us. That word means to be developed, to be matured. You will not become a mature spiritual son of God if you don't become developed in love. You're going to have to stop judging people because people are not going to do everything you like. You're going to have to stop pointing the finger at people, becoming accusatory. People will miss it at times. They are not perfect, just like you're not perfect. And so often we think God has called us to be his policeman to point out when somebody else is wrong. You won't find it in the Bible. Look at this. Here, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Now, this is the same Holy Spirit. For as we read in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God, the spiritual mature ones of God. Okay, this maturity, I want you to see this. Now drop down to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. In other words, basically the principle is this. I'm to love my brother and sisters who I can see the same way that I love God who I cannot see. So the principle, the other part of the principle is, I cannot say I love God and treat God better than I treat the one who I see physically. How I talk to the one physically, God says, that's how you're talking to me. And see, this is spiritual maturity that I'm leading you in. This is spiritual development. Now go back to Luke 15 and let me try to get to where I want to get to in these last 20 minutes. Watch this. The son, the elder son, was upset because the youngest son was given a party by the father. You know the story. And verse 29, the elder son said this, the elder brother said this. I'm at Luke 15, verse 29. Y'all with me? And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that's a small goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, and this now here's the father's response, verse 31. And verse 31 is what I want to center on tonight. Look at verse 31. And he, the father, said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Tonight, in the rest of this message tonight, I want to focus on that. Because I don't know about you, but the way you keep from living in comparison, you know, you stop comparing yourself to others, you stop judging others, you stop condemning others, you stop living like that, like I pointed out, is when you learn to live by this, what the Father said. The Father, symbolic of Jesus. The elder brother is symbolic of the Christian who lives by rules, do's and don'ts, and regulations. It's a religious Christian, a denominational Christian, the elder brother. He says, I haven't transgressed any time. Anything you said, I did what you said. I've always been with you. I stayed here. And then he said this, I serve you. That's the type of Christian who says, God, look how long I pray. I prayed, I fasted, and I still haven't got my manifestation. Lord, look how long I've been giving tithes. I've given, and then I've sown seed, and then I've been a blessing to my man and woman of God. So they bring up all these do's and don'ts. I don't do this, and I don't do that, but you know, I'm going to church. So they bring up all this, and they're using all of that as reason to now get God to move. You should move. And the Father said, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. I don't know about you. I'm asking God to help me go to another level in living from this place. All that he has is mine. So I want to show you some scripture tonight, because you got to see yourself as a son, as a spiritual mature one. And then you have to open yourself up, because right now there is some limitation on the inside of us. There's some condemnation there. There's some hesitation within us. There's some reservations. And all of that is in us because of all the experiences we've had in life, what has happened to us, what people have done to us, words that have been spoken to us. And we have to break free of that to go to another level of living in this place where God says, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. This elder brother was willing to settle for a small goat when he could have had a fatted calf anytime he wanted. And so, I was talking to the Lord today. I said, Lord, you got to help me with this. You have to help expand my thinking, because I want to go to another level. And I want to know what's hindering me. What's limiting me? What's keeping me locked in and confined? And I know it's in your mind, part of that. And it's in your awareness, part of that. And it's in your consciousness, part of that. And so I want to break free all that he has. So let's look at some scripture. Come on. Go with me to the book of Romans quickly. Let's look at this. I'm going to show you a lot of scripture now, because I want to show you some things. Romans chapter 8. Now we're going to look at verse 32. A very familiar verse. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, we read that verse before, but how many of us are living in the reality of Romans 8, verse 32 at another level? He that spared not his own son. We're celebrating the Resurrection Holy Week this week, and Resurrection Sunday is coming up. And we're celebrating because God the Father did not spare his son, Jesus, didn't hold him back, but delivered him up for us all. He did that. Okay, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There are some things you need in your life. There are some more things that you want to experience and encounter in life. There's a place in life you want to be lifted up out of where you are now so that you can go to a new place. So Romans 8:32 says, he'll freely give us all things. Now, remember what the Father said to the elder son, all that I have is thine. So we need that, the Holy Spirit, to help us go to this place where we can learn and know how to receive greater than we've ever received before. Come on, go with me. Go with me now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now watch what Jesus says. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. Watch this. He said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. I just took you to 1 John 4 that shows you that God loves you and I. And it says here that the Father loves the Son. Well, we know he loves Jesus, but you and I, we're in Jesus, so he loves us too. And he hath given all things into Jesus' hands. So if it's in Jesus' hands, it's in our hands. Every time we partake of communion, you all always hear me say this. I don't know how much you be paying attention. Every time we partake of communion, and I hold up the cup and I pray over it and bless it before we drink it, I always say this. I thank you, Father, that everything that belongs to you belongs to Jesus. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. We receive our inheritance. Every time we partake of communion, I say that when I pray the blessing over the cup. And look what he says here. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The Father, in that parable of the prodigal son, said, Son, all that I have is yours. So I want you to start seeing yourself from this place. We have to begin seeing ourselves more from this place. All right, come on. Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Look at verse 3. Come on, quickly. Now, here's the key. The Bible says, verse 3, John chapter 13, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Look at there. Jesus knowing. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray, will you begin helping us to know how to live from this spiritual truth at another level, from another depth, from another dimension? Look what it says, Jesus knowing. And if you and I, if we just begin knowing this, my brothers and sisters, we will stop praying like we're wondering if God is going to answer, and we will know it. We won't struggle with our believing. We won't struggle with the circumstances that we're in. We won't struggle with the situations that we've been facing. We'll have this confident assurance because we know that the Father has given all things into our hands because he's given all things into Jesus' hands. The Father told the elder brother, all that I have is thine. Okay, come with me. Flip a couple of pages. Go to John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 16. Come on. Look at verse 13. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take up mine and shall show it unto you. Wow. So we read this in Romans 8 earlier that I told you the Spirit of God will lead you into your identity, that who you are, a child of God, a son of God, a spiritually mature one of God. But then he'll also lead you into what is yours, what you have a right to, your inheritance. My purpose in sharing this is I want us to begin moving from this place of wandering, and we move from this place where we stop struggling with this little bit that we've been seeing and getting, and go to a whole nother level that all that the Father has is mine. And we have to learn to take ownership of that. Are you catching this tonight? Look at verse 14 again. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit shall glorify me. Okay, how will the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? Look at this. For he shall receive of mine. He shall receive everything that Jesus has been given from the Father and shall show it or reveal it or demonstrate it unto you. Part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to help us to receive all that the Father has and all that he has given to us. Lord, help us go there. Can you help us to pray bolder prayers? Can you help us to pray bigger prayers? Can you help us to receive bigger manifestations? Remove the hesitation, remove the limitation, remove all of that that's in the way of us going to this place to where we can just receive. He says, all things, verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. And that's how you and I have to begin talking. That's how we have to begin thinking, because we're one with Christ. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and will show it or demonstrate it unto you. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Help us, Holy Spirit. Will you stretch us? Now, before we read this, so last week I gave you some things. I want to remind you of them. Here are my four bullet points that I gave you last week. You ready? Number one, I said, there is nothing I can't have. We have to begin thinking that way. There is nothing I can't have. Remember what the Father said, all that I have is yours. And we're reading scriptures that are proving that, that's how it is with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So number one, there is nothing I can't have. You have to build this in your spirit. I'm building it in mine. I wanted to help me go to a whole nother level. Y'all just don't know, man, what I want to see, what I want to experience because of this spiritual truth. Number two, the second bullet point is there is nowhere I can't go. You don't have to play by everybody else's rules. You don't have to slowly and gradually come out of a thing. You can be lifted up out of something. You can be lifted up out of the place you're in right now, overnight. You can be lifted out of a dilemma. You can be lifted out of a desert. You can be lifted out of deficits. You can be lifted out of debt. You can be lifted out of disease. You can be lifted out of disability. We can be lifted out. There is nowhere I can't go. Number three, there is nothing I can't do. That means there is nothing you can't produce. There is nothing you can't perform. There is nothing you can't fulfill as far as assignment. There is nothing I can't do. Performance-wise, capability-wise, you can do it. And so you stop looking at yourself as not good enough. Stop looking at yourself as incompetent. Stop looking at yourself as impotent. There's nothing I can't do. And then number four, because I am a spiritually mature son of God, every struggle in my life has ended today. I want this to become so real to you and I, you just don't know how much. I want this to become so real. I want this to be a reality to where your walk with God will blow your mind. That you'll begin experiencing things, encountering things, receiving things that you never thought was possible for you. That life for you will go to a whole nother dimension. All right. So there is nothing I can't have. There is nowhere I can't go. There is nothing I can't do. And because I am a spiritually mature child of God, every struggle in my life has ended today. So we shared this last week that, remember this, how you perceive God is how you believe God. So I'm asking God to expand our perception. Stretch it beyond anything we've ever thought before. My brothers and sisters, limitation got you. And I want limitations off of you in Jesus' name. Limitations has had you. I want limitations off of you in the name of Jesus. I don't want you to pray limited. I don't want you to believe limited. I don't want you to think limited. I don't want you to act limited. And I don't want you to live limited. And I don't want you to receive limited no more in Jesus' name. How you perceive God is how you believe God. And then I shared with you last week, how you believe God is how you receive from God. How you believe God is how you receive from God. Can you believe these scriptures that I'm showing you? Can you allow the Spirit of God to stretch you and expand you? Can you position yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to bring you out of religion? I know some of us, we think, oh man, I'm delivered from religion. No, you're not. Anytime there's a limitation, you're not delivered from religion. Anytime there's a hesitation, you're not delivered from religion. Anytime there's a reservation, you're not delivered from religion. It's religious thinking and religious conditioning that's limiting you, holding you down, holding you back, holding you out, holding you from. So how you perceive God is how you believe God. How you believe God is how you receive from God. So now I got you at Matthew 11, right? Matthew 11, verse 27. Look how Jesus talked. So I'm seeing now that we're going to have to change the way we talk and talk like Jesus. I've already given you several scriptures. I'm purposing to do this myself. I got to do it, man. I want to do it. I want to see more. And it's not just about things. No, it's about totally changing your quality of life. Totally changing what you're exposed to, totally changing what you're empowered to do, totally changing how you expect. It's just like a millionaire. You know, some millionaires, they've been bankrupt several times. And you know, there's some of us as Christians, oh man, we're afraid of bankruptcy. Oh man, don't let that happen to me, oh God. They've been bankrupt several times, and they're still millionaires. How? They expect it. They expect to come out on top. They expect to live above. And so they don't, there's no risk to them. There's no fear. And that's what I want for you and I. You had Matthew 11? Look at verse 27. Look what Jesus says. Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Did you get that? Here it is again. He says, all things. Now, what did in the parable of the prodigal son, what did the father say to the elder brother? All that I have is yours. That is a kingdom concept. That's how you have to operate and think in the kingdom. That's how you talk. But that brother thought he had to, he said, I've been serving you. I got to serve you. And the father never asked that elder brother to serve him. The father simply wanted a relationship. And there's a bunch of things that you and I have done. There's a bunch of things we do. And thinking if we do this, oh, now God will move. God is going to move for you and I because of our relationship. And because he says, look at verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father or by my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. But guess what Jesus has done for you and I? He has revealed the Father to us so that we may know him, become intimate with him. Daniel 11:32 says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Jesus says, I'm revealing them to you through my spirit, the Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay. All right. Go with me. Now, go with me to, oh, Jesus, I'm running out of time. But go with me to John chapter 1. Go with me to John chapter 1. Man, so this is where I am. I keep hearing that all that I have is already yours. Well, Lord, help me to think that way. Help me to process my life that way. Help me to perceive that. Help me to interpret that. Help me to embrace that. That should be our prayer. That should be our cry. All that I have is thine. Every time you're praying for something, hear God the Father's answer to you. You got to hear it. Daughter, all that I have is yours. Son, all that I have is yours. And adjust your prayer life to be in agreement with that spiritual truth. That's not just a statement. That's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual reality. It's time for us to live bigger. I say in Jesus' name, you and I, we're going to live bigger. We're going to be bigger. We're going to be better in the name of Jesus, because all that the Father has is ours. Okay. All right. Look at this. You're at John chapter 1. I want to show you who we are, who you are, who we are. We're not anybody weak. Look at verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, there it is again, the sons of God. He's not talking about gender. He's not talking about males. He's talking about spiritually mature ones of God. But as many as received him, have you received him? Yes, you have. I have too. So watch this. Since we already qualified, look what the verse says, what happened to us. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Wow. Glory to God. The Message Bible says, verse 12 and 13, this way. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Glory to God. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten, but God begotten. And so we have to see this. We have to see this. We have to see. Now, another Amplified Classic translation says, where it says, to them gave he power. It says, to them gave he gave them authority and power to be the sons of God, the spiritual mature ones. My prayer is that the cap will be removed off of your perception of your authority. That the cap will be removed off of the flow of power in your life, in Jesus' name. That's my prayer. That you'll begin to see things different. Let's close out with this. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Ah, glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands with me. Lift your hands with me. Say, Lord, I receive your word, and I'm asking you to stretch me beyond where I am right now. Lord, expand my perception. Come on, tell them. Lord, expand my believing. Lord, expand my expectation. Lord, remove all reservations. Remove all hesitation. Remove all limitations from the inside of me so I can live from this spiritual truth that all that you have is mine in Jesus' name. Now show me how to operate in that and activate it in my life and show me how to receive in Jesus' name. That's it. All right. Colossians chapter 1. I don't know if this is doing for you what it's doing for me. I pray it is. Glory to God. It's because of revelations like this and teachings like this, I can't sit in no ordinary church service and just go through the routine of the resurrection Sunday things that they do. Tomorrow, there'll be services that'll be having the seven last sayings of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I'm at a place I got to have some more. There are churches that'll have Easter egg hunts and all of that. I got to have more. I want more. I got to see more, man. Okay, Colossians 1. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, meaning in Jesus, should all fullness dwell. So if all fullness is in Jesus, and I'm in Jesus, you too, then you and I are where the fullness of all things is, and the Father says, all that I have is yours. I know it. There's nothing on earth compared, and man, a teaching like this can just flat out blow your mind because it stretches you, and you try to process it, and you really don't know how to process it. And that's why I told you last week when we looked at this that how you perceive things, your perception is actually your interpretation. And so, and whenever you interpret something, you attach your definition to it. I'm always telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want my definition. I want your definition. I don't want my description. I want your description. I said, God, come on, man. Expand me. So when you interpret something, you attach your definition to it. You attach your significance to it, your importance. And a teaching like this, this is important to me, and I want it to be important to you. I want it to be significant to you so it can lift us out of places. And then whatever you interpret, you also attach your conclusion or your judgment to. All right, Colossians chapter 2 now. I got two scriptures. This is the second to the last one. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Colossians 2, verse 3. It says, in whom, talking about in Jesus, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now listen, so who are they hidden for? You and I. They're not hidden from us. They are hidden for us, so now the devil can't touch them. But you and I, we have access to it. We need to begin praying from this place, Lord. Thank you that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we have access to those treasures right now. So I access the treasures of wisdom and I access the treasures of revelation knowledge to come forth in my life, and I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. We have to pray like that and believe that and expect that. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, then we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Somebody said, Pastor Mark, you done messed me up. No, the Bible has messed both of us up. Because I keep hearing this phrase, you've been living too small. And that ain't for you, that's for us. We've been living too small, y'all. We've been living too small. And God wants us to live larger. He wants us to live larger. He wants us to live greater. Because when you live larger, when you live greater, the aspect of holiness on you also increases. You haven't really learned to live holy until you've learned to live larger. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Some folks think that I'm holy if I ain't got nothing. I don't know where they got that from. Because Jesus was the most holiest person in the earth realm, in the universe. And we've been reading all tonight how the Father says, all that I have is yours. And Jesus, he lived a large life. He lived a greater life. See, the greater you live, the larger you live, the more holier you are. Jesus was holy, man. Okay, let's end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 21. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, let no man glory in men. This is why you got to stop comparing yourself to others. Stop being impressed with people and putting yourself down. He says, don't glory in men. Let no man glory in men. Why, God? For all things are yours. You don't have to compare yourself. You're not in competition. You're not in comparison. So you stop condemning yourself and understand all things are yours. Look at verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Now, he talked about the ministry and the anointing that's on Paul, the ministry and anointing that's on Apollos, the ministry and anointing that was on Cephas or Peter. Then he talked about what's in the world. Then he talks about life or death or things. It ain't nothing wrong with having things present or things to come. God says, all are yours. And look at the last verse. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It's the sonship mentality. The sonship mentality. Let's pray. Daddy, I'm asking you to help us. Help us to boldly go where we have never gone before. I've already been talking to you about this. I'm asking you to stretch me. Help me to live larger. Help me to live greater. Help me to live an expanded life, an empowered life, an enlarged life so that I can represent you on the earth like you want. Do that for each one of us is my prayer. And I've already prayed this through the message. Father, remove the limitation off of us. Remove the containment off of us in Jesus' name. Remove the restriction from us in the name of Jesus. Remove the hesitation out of us. Remove the wondering, the guessing, the second guessing and doubt. Remove it from us in Jesus' name. Show us your glory. Holy Spirit, please, sir, show us how to receive from this level, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Recording stopped.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know if last week's teaching, this week's teaching, mainly this week, last week I introduced it. If it's doing for you what it is doing to me and what it has done to me and continues to do. And the thing that I'm learning is that God says, Mark, you don't work for this. You have to learn to embrace this. Glory, that's a tweet. That's a post right there. You don't work for this. You have to learn to embrace it. And that elder son did not know how to embrace his father's love at that level. He wanted the father to reward him. Y'all ready for this? Oh, Lord. He wanted the father to reward him. And the father simply wanted to release him. He wanted a reward for serving. The father wanted to release him as a son. Put this down somewhere in your notes. Say, Lord, teach me how to be released in Jesus' name. Lord, teach me how to be released.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.